The love of money. Yes, I am your host on the Roderick Owensby Show, and I am Roderick Owensby, and we will continue with the subject, the Get Rich or Die Trying Gospel. Oh my goodness, the love of money, the love of money, the root of all evil. You've seen a lot of evil today. I promise you that the love of money is in the back of it. My queen, how are you doing, darling?
I am good, honey. How are you?
I'm fired up. I am, as we prayed earlier and right before the show came on, I'm just so excited about the testimonies and the phone calls we are receiving, the emails, and people are being set free from a tradition that will make the word of God and has made the word of God of none effect. Traditions of men. So the curse is being destroyed. It has already been destroyed on the cross, but we are continuing to destroy the influence of something that is yet causing God's people to, watch this, stay in poverty. So we're going to deal with this. How are you doing, my queen?
I am so good. And, you know, I'm so glad and I'm blessed about the light being shown upon the people of God and the things that are coming out. You know, if we are ever to grow and to move forward, we're going to have some type of knowledge. We're going to have to know what is the next step, what is the falsehood, what is the truth. The word of God says that the truth will make us free, and we cannot be free if we deny the truth. So I'm so glad that you are revealing this truth, and the Holy Spirit is revealing and shining the light of his countenance upon this truth so that the people of God, who we have been getting emails from, we've been getting calls from, like you said, yes, saying thank you for showing me this, for because I have been in a certain vein for years and asking questions, how do I get out of it? There have been so many people who have been, you know, using the quote-unquote paying my tithes for years, but yet not receiving what God had promised them. And then they didn't want to blame God because it's not God, but it's these false teachings. And I thank God that the light of his word is being shined upon so people can really see and people can move out of bondage, every type of bondage.
I love it, my queen, and I love you for your steadfast and unshakable faith. And as we walk this walk of faith, God is providing. God is providing for us. You know, last night before we went off, we had Antoinette, and she She was so wonderful in asking a question, and we're going to pick up from there and be able to deal with that. Who do I have with me on the Roderick Owensby Show? God bless you.
You have Antoinette at least till about 10:25.
Okay, 10:25, and I thank God for you. I don't know why 10:25. Maybe you'll take a break and be back, but maybe you have some things to do. But we love you. What's in your heart right now, Antoinette? Or do you want to pick up where we left off? Go ahead and speak whatever is in your spirit.
We can pick up from where we left off last night, because my question was and is, as responsible Christians, what is our responsibility? If you're a committed Christian and you go to church every Sunday, every Tuesday, or every Wednesday, what's your responsibility in regards to giving? If we're not required to tithe,
and we want to deal with that right now. Tithing is a choice; it's not a demand. Let me start off by saying this. If we only preach, and for all of the pastors and all of the people that are listening that do not call in, the fivefold ministry, I ask you in love to listen to this. And what do we do is the question concerning tithing and offering. You know, if we only preach tithing, which is under the old law, okay, the old covenant, and we understand, and everyone should believe that Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Understand that. It's not a half-filled glass. He came to fulfill the law. Now listen closely. And under the old covenant, you would have to sacrifice goats and bulls and bullocks and animals in order to be forgiven for sins. Now, under the new covenant, we become a living sacrifice. Present your what? Bodies as a living sacrifice. Are you following me? Holy and acceptable. You couldn't sacrifice an animal in the Old Testament unless it was without blemish. If it had any type of blemish, it would not be accepted. Even when the priest would go into the holies of holies, they would tie around their rope, because if the priest was not holy, they would literally die. You see, and this is what happened in the New Testament. It was sort of an end, if you will, of the old covenant when it came to Ananias and Sapphira. So listen closely. If we are teaching tithing as the law, if we're teaching tithing as the law, then we must understand this, that we have to go back to animal sacrifice. We have to go back to all of the old covenant. In other words, what has happened in our days, God is treated like a lottery now. And some pay tithes just to be blessed. And almost as if tithing is some type of spiritual lottery. Put it in, get something out. Kind of a system. Even like some CEOs making $30, $40, $60, $80 million a year. Okay? While those who are really the CEOs, behind the scenes, the workers, those who are working to make a product, those who are working to make whatever is being sold, while they only make pennies on the dollars and then get a bonus that equals to a couple of days' pay or a week's pay or, in some cases, a whole month's pay. So it is with many pastors who use tithing and offering as an excuse for prosperity. And on the backs of the people of God, not all pastors, and as I said yesterday, I am not sent to the ones that are obeying God. I'm sent to the ones for repentance, those who are not obeying God. Now watch this closely. Too many leaders have robbed the people while teaching that those who don't pay tithing are robbing God, when it's just the opposite. Now listen to this, not to mention the excessive offerings during the service, just to make ends meet for a building, instead of Malachi 3:10, that there may be meat in my house. Okay, instead of God's house. Now, what is God's house? Certainly, you don't believe that God's house is made of bricks and stones and glass. Even in the Old Covenant, Isaiah 66:1, God says, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Now, the young lady was asking, what do we do? You go to a church. What do you do if we are not under the bondage or the old covenant, rather I like to say, of tithing? The bondage is when the law is put upon you and you are subconsciously made to feel or believe that if you do not pay tithe or your offerings, you are under a curse. Listen to this. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. When Paul said, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm going to read from the Message Bible because I like how it reads. It says, now, friends, here's Paul. I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in Macedonia. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. Get that. These people were happy, although they were poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there and I saw it for myself. They gave, watch this, offerings of whatever they had, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of the poor Christians. Paul was involved in helping the poor Christians. Listen to this. This was totally, Paul said, spontaneous, entirely their own idea. The people of God, in the book of Acts, they gave of their own. They were not pressured. They didn't have five or six or seven or eight offerings a Sunday. Hear me now. They didn't have a building fund. Hear me now. They didn't have a bunch of reports that you have to pay. If you get licensed to preach, you got a report. If you're an elder, you have a report. They didn't have all that supersonic crap. Listen closely. This was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea, and caught us apostles completely off guard. I'm telling you what, when you give with the Spirit of God, with a free heart of your own, making up your own mind what you shall give instead of having a rule or regulation, man, woman of God, you haven't seen blessings. Freely ye have received, freely ye give. That is the law of love that Jesus Christ came to give us. Listen to this. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. That's what prompted us to ask Titus. Now, Paul is dealing with the young man Titus, to bring the relief offering to your attention. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, we saw a move of God concerning giving, and it was so spontaneous of the people's own heart's desire until Paul was led to tell Titus, you've got to let these people know about this. This is an awesome revival of finances. Okay? And then he goes on to say, so that what was so well begun could be finished up. So Paul said, what happened here, I want you all to continue. He said, you do so well in so many things. You trust God. Okay? You are insightful. You're passionate. And you love us. In other words, giving should be out of being insightful, passionate giving, and out of love. Now, do your best in this too, Paul is saying. Listen closely, people. This is the Spirit of God. This is not Roderick. This is the Spirit of God. If you're going to be in a financial move of God that's here, you're going to have to receive what God is saying. Now watch this. Here's Paul saying this. I'm not trying to order you around against your will. Okay, but by bringing in the Macedonians' enthusiasm as a stimulus to your love. In other words, in Macedonia, God showed Paul, the apostle, something supernatural. And then the Holy Ghost began to breathe upon him, and he gave an apostolic order of giving, which is not being followed in the majority of the churches today. He says, I am hoping to bring the best out of you. You are familiar with the generosity of our Master Jesus Christ. See, the true apostles use Jesus as an example of tithing and offering. I don't care what you say. Listen closely. If you're going to a church, and I say this in love, and Jesus Christ is not the model of giving, you're in bondage. I don't care who it is. What pastor, what bishop it is, and I speak this as an apostle, lording over no one. See, most folk think an apostle is somebody that go around getting buildings and on the east side, the north side, the west side, and people are judged about their so-called apostleship according to real estate, how many buildings they have. That's nonsense. When that time comes, I'll thank God for it. But the emphasis will not be on a building. It'll be on buildings that no man has made. Isaiah 66:1. The heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat, which was the original. Tithing and offering was not about money. It was about food. It was about land. People sold land. It was food. Every church should be a storehouse to feed the poor. Well, bless God from heaven. Listen to this. So here's what I think Paul is saying. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you have started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. You see, the early church knew about giving. They knew about God's prosperity. Listen to this. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it up. So go on. Paul is saying continue to give in the order of the new covenant. Once the commitment is clear, once you make up your mind what you should give, you're getting your answers. Once you make up your mind what you're going to give, you see, the New Testament is like going to a college. You know, in elementary, you kind of need some help. You need help from the teachers and the tutors. You get to junior school, you get to middle school, and whatever stage your city has, and then you get to junior high, and then you get to high school. Each step you take in school leads you, and then when you get to college, you're basically on your own. And it starts in high school. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. So from the Old Testament, we were under commandments. You know, God spoke to Moses. Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro. Moses turned and saw a great sight. He said, I must turn aside to see this great sight. Moses goes up upon Mount Sinai. He sees a burning bush that was not consumed. God spoke to him, and God dealt with him and told him that he was a deliverer. He's going to Pharaoh. He's going to Egypt, where the people was being gypped by the enemy, like many are today. They're being gypped by somebody telling them they're cursed if they don't give. Nonsense. The curse was broken on the cross. Jesus is the ultimate tithe and offering. So Moses got the law, and then Moses brought the law to the people. The people were under hundreds and hundreds of laws. They couldn't keep that. Came all through the Old Testament, the prophecies about Jesus, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, everybody saw Jesus. The Hebrew boys in a fiery furnace, okay, they saw Jesus. And so his going forth has been from old, from everlasting to everlasting. And then here comes Jesus. Prophesied in the same book, Malachi, and most greedy preachers read Malachi and they see money. Why is it that most preachers, when you say tithe, they see money? Because they are hard taskmasters. Tithing does not mean money. It does not mean money. So here comes Jesus. He's born from a virgin. Then some people got to worshiping Mary. All kind of crazy stuff popped up. And so here comes Jesus. And Jesus, you never found Jesus putting emphasis on tithing. He came to fulfill. Don't you know when he died, he is the ultimate sacrifice. Nobody else can give their life for you and save you. That's it. That's it. So when he came and he gave his life, this was the ultimate tithe, the ultimate offering. After all of the sacrifices, after all of the animals and the blood, here's Solomon sacrificed 1,000 animals, and then the glory of God came in. So now, here we are, delivered from the rules and regulations of the old covenant, and now giving has to be with one thing, love. You make up your own mind. So if you want to give 10%, that's up to you. If you want to give 50%, that's up to you. But if any man stands up and tell you that you are cursed, if you don't pay tithe, he is directly or indirectly a liar. Yes, 818-431-8553. I'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I feel the presence of God. So we must understand the new covenant. The new covenant. You see, because if you go into a ministry and you're being hounded upon, you must pay your tithe. You must pay your tithe. Well, ignorance is playing a great part in the poverty of God's people. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, if you can find me a greater tithe and a greater sacrifice and a greater offering than Jesus Christ, would you please let me know? Even the Word of God says you can give your body to be burned. If you have not love, it profits you absolutely nothing. And listen, if you can't give in love and be free to, then you're missing it anyway. And I'm speaking to the whole globe. God has set us free from every yoke of bondage. And be not entangled, y'all, again, with the yoke of bondage. Now, anyone that listens to us, we are clean, and to God be the glory. We do not mention names. We're not even paying attention to names. We're not thinking about a certain preacher. That is not in our minds. We are simply obeying the voice of the Lord. I say this not to justify myself. I say it because I'm just so happy. I'm just tickled because I see people being delivered because they have lived their lives in bondage. Now listen, according to your faith be it unto you, if you believe that if you go slap a tree three times, take three leaves, do three flips, okay, and you'll get blessed, well, you go ahead. You go ahead. But if you want real prosperity, then you have to understand that Jesus came. Yahushua, the mighty God, the I am that I am, he came to make us free from the curse of the what? Law. That means if you are operating under any law but the law of love, you are in absolute bondage. Absolute bondage. So what should you do? You should seek God. You should ask God, make up in your own mind what you want to give to help missionaries, to help people who are preaching the gospel. But make sure you're helping someone that is teaching the truth. I mean, would you want your child going to school and somebody lying to your child saying there's no God? No, you wouldn't put your money in that. Nobody goes to the grocery stores and buy some rotten apples and smile on the way to the cashier. Ooh, I got me some apples. They look healthy. Nobody invests their money in something that they don't feel that it is worth their investment. So giving is like that. You give out of love. You give out of love. It might be you might drive up to a gas station and the Lord will speak to you concerning someone. Who knows? Giving is giving. See, if a man or woman is secure in their calling and their anointing, they will never put pressure on people concerning money. Oops, yes, I said it. Let me show you God's way of giving. Listen to this closely. So I read to you how the Apostle Paul taught giving. I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to write it down. This is God's way of giving. Not some man shouting to you, you can holler money cometh until you turn blue in the face. Modern day religion, money comes to the so-called ministry. But watch this. It was not so. It didn't stop there. After Jesus went back to glory, he left his apostles. Watch this. Here is God's mandate and God's blueprint for giving under the new covenant. Listen closely. Nothing left over to the one with the most. Nothing lacking to the one with the least. I'm going to say it again. My God, I'm so excited. Listen. Nothing left over to the one with the most. Nothing lacking to the one with the least. Now, that is a divine distribution of wealth. When they laid money at the apostles' feet, distribution was made. Are you going to a ministry where you have been supporting for years? Have you ever went and say, listen, I need some help on my mortgage, and was treated like an outcast? Uh-oh. If you were, you can go ahead and keep believing in modern-day taxes through tithing if you want to. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that includes in giving. You can't have the Spirit of God and then have bondage. It doesn't work. How are you doing, my queen?
I am perfectly fine, honey. I'm so excited about this word. I thank God for how it's coming forth. I know the people of God are excited about how this is coming through. I know that, I mean, just the fact that Jesus hang on that tree and he took the curse. He became the curse so that the curse will not be upon us.
Right.
That's what Galatians 3:13 said.
Mm-hmm.
He became a curse.
Yes.
So how do we walk? If we're walking yet under the law, then that's saying that Jesus did not come and fulfill the law. We can't accept Jesus for one thing and not accept Jesus for the whole total package. Jesus is Lord, and he became a curse for us. That's his whole purpose, to make sure that we didn't have to go through those things. We didn't have to fulfill the law of Moses, because Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses. I think this is a powerful word. I'm so excited.
I thank you, my queen. We're going to let others have a word, my queen, because I'm telling you, I feel the presence of God. And you know, God spoke to me, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have a ministry that can be monitored by people who think they can discern other than the Holy Spirit. God has given us a unique anointing to set the captives free. And I believe what God spoke to us, he said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven through what I have anointed you and your queen to decree. See, we are declaring God's liberty, God's jubilee on the nations. We are not against any pastor. Please don't think that. We're not against any preacher. We're not even paying attention to anything but what God says. If you are whole, we can help you. You can be blessed by what God is doing. But if you are sick, yes, we're sent to you. If you are in need of understanding, we are sent to you. If you're hungry for God, if you're wondering, why am I been doing this for years, and it seems like the only one getting blessed is the one that's receiving the money. Listen to this. Listen to this closely. Nothing left over to the one with the most. Nothing lacking to the one with the least. Who else do I have with me today, my queen and I? Go ahead. You on the air.
Yes, this is Alberta. Hello, Father. How are you?
God bless you, Alberta.
God bless you, too.
What's on your spirit today?
I've been listening to you, and I've been moved in so many ways tonight. Learning, hear me when I say it, learning new things about what tithes and offerings are. Because as a kid, I went to my home church, which was in my area where I was born and raised. And for years, my mom, my sisters, my brothers, my siblings, and all of us, my cousins, we paid tithes and offerings. It wasn't a specific amount at the time, because I'm 32 now, so it wasn't a specific amount. But I grew up in the streets, and as a hustler, my apostle walked up to me at that time, about 10 years ago, and this was my apostle from like 4 to like 14. And he walked up to me at like 19 and asked me for something, and I was a street pharmacist, so to speak. And he walked up to me and asked for a whole bundle. And I dropped my head and pulled my baseball cap to the front versus to the side. And I felt bad in myself because I knew the word. I felt more bad for him because he was the one that was teaching the word.
and this is where my tithes and offerings went. I don't knock those that have addictions. I don't knock those that have a spiritual connection. I don't knock those that's trying to learn and take up the fruit. I'm not knocking anyone. But I'm just saying, my thing is, if you feel in your heart an amount to give, that's what you give. I felt this when you said it. I got a quickening. I felt it so deep within.
Wow.
And I learned this from that situation. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's what you give is what your heart tells you to give. It's not where you think he's going with it and what he's doing with it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I followed my heart at that time, and I didn't say who I knew he was. I didn't call him by his whole name or anything of that nature. I just dropped my head because I felt ashamed because I was doing what I was doing. And then I know he probably should have felt ashamed because of what he was doing with the tithes and offerings. And I still follow him in the Cadillac the next week. Now, I don't knock him. I'm not using a name. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, for me, that was my moment on the tithes and offerings that moved me towards whatever my heart said give, I give.
So awesome from you. And in a moment, I'm going to play a testimony from Alberta. It moved my queen and I to such a point, and I know it moved the nation, how of much of a reality it was to hear you speak of this metamorphosis, this transformation. And we decree billions of people like you for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. I sense a strong harvest, a powerful wave of the Holy Spirit. You that have been waiting on the windows of heaven to open up, I want you to take your hands, close them. There you go. Just close them all over the nation. Now open them up. There you go. Windows. Glory to God.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. My God. Do it again. I feel this. Woo. Close your hand. Then slide to the left. Slide to the right. Cha-cha now. Now listen. Just open your hand. Glory to God. And there you have the windows of heaven. Let me prove to you that your hands are a part of the windows of heaven. Remember in the book of Acts when Peter and John went to the temple to pray and they saw a man that was lame. I love this. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Now, to prove that Peter opened up his hand, the Bible indicates to us that he grabbed the man by the hand, which means he gave him a help. So his hand was open. So part of the windows of heaven is when you release, when you give a divine release. Now, see, most people, and see, this is how the enemy robbed the true apostles, and a lot of false pastors came on the scene as though there were no apostles, no prophets, no evangelists and teachers, that now the people begin to worship the pastor gift, and then many of the pastors push aside the apostles as though you need a building to be an apostle. I'm teaching to billions of buildings now. Glory to God, not made by man's hand. And I feel just, if you could call yourself an apostle and be building minded, I certainly declare to be one. But let's go higher. God has released the kingly anointing, and I'm walking in the kingly anointing with my queen. You that accept the kingly and priestly anointing, you're going to have more. That's why the latter house shall be more glorious. You know why? Because the latter house is going to operate from the body.
Yeah.
The body ministry. Of course, I believe that God has given us buildings. I don't want them to look like a normal church, but buildings, commercial property, land for the School of Prophets. I decree over 700 acres of land in one day. God is going to loose all over the country, all over the world, to this servant and to the servants of God, because we are not going to rob the people. If you want to give, good. If you don't, good. God bless you. But you are not under a curse of the tithing.
Yes.
Some of you been paying tithes so long, you don't even know what a window looks like. You waiting on something to open from heaven, and I tell you what, you find you somebody broke, somebody doing the will of God, listen, you bless them. You find somebody walking the street that don't have a home, you bless them. You
yeah.
find somebody that
yeah.
needs some food, you bless them. If the Holy Ghost speaks, how many people God has spoken to and say, listen, I want you to help that man teach this gospel, and they refuse to give because they are under bondage of some man. I got to save my tithe for the church.
My God.
And God said, God said, Owensby, call Owensby and tell him you have a seed.
Yes.
No, I can't do it because my pastor be upset. Forget your pastor. If the Holy Ghost tell you to give to Devante, and you talking about, I can't give to Devante, Prophet Young Devante, I can't give to Alberta because I got to save my tithe for my tithe. Shut up.
Come on, come on.
That means you're not following the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I heard a preacher get up and say, listen, you, listen, if you that are not giving your tithes, you can't preach here.
What?
Oh, so now tithing has replaced the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Oh, you Jesus. Brother, you're a bad sister mama. You're a bad brother pastor.
Mm.
You know what you are? A pastor hard-headed.
You heard me?
You're going to tell somebody
yeah.
they can't preach if they don't pay tithe. Have you lost your guts, lost your mind?
Mm.
Get off that drug.
Wow.
Crack is whack.
Yes.
Yeah, get off the drug. Here's Alberta. Love it. You're going to enjoy this, and we'll be right back. We're just getting started. Praise God. My queen?
Yes, my king.
I love you, baby.
I love you more, handsome.
Mwah. Here's Ooh. Alberta. Love. Thank you, baby.
You know, so what is moving me to this point? I have a calling, and I've neglected this calling multiple times, and still he keeps reaching out for me. And now it's to the point where I can't run anymore because my mental thought is changing. My feelings about everything is changing. You know, my love for life, my thirst for knowledge is changing. You know, so and in knowing that, I'm reading the scriptures every day. I'm on this talk show every day. I'm taking wisdom from you every day. To God be the glory.
Yes.
And it's so divine when you know that it's been times, but if I'd have did it, then I'd have did it because that's what the preachers or the church folks told me I should have been doing. Now I'm doing it because I feel it.
My
it's not just a thought or a want. It's a feeling, you know, of completion, a feeling of destiny, a feeling of now. You know, you can just feel it. When you know, you know. So at first it was for everybody else. Now it's for me because I know it's my time to live right, get right.
You know, we just love Berta. If a person can't understand and receive from somebody that's real and raw, they just can't understand or receive. When Berta goes out and she tells someone of the things that she's gone through and where she is now, if that's not a witness of the Holy Spirit, God brings us up out of the muck and miry clay. We are so proud of you, Berta. See, you keep going and going. We know what's inside of you. Your heart is real, real big. You got a lot of love, and it's going to flow out.
You just said that I got the chills again. I'm going to need y'all to not be talking to me.
God bless. We are, we just love people. And listen, some people think they're paying tithing and they're paying a mortgage. Some of God's people think they're paying tithing and they're making car notes.
Mm.
Yeah, and then you have some people that said, listen, I don't care what the preacher do to my money. I'm giving to God. Hold up. Stop the press. Why is it that some people think they're giving to God, but to see somebody hungry and won't give them a dime, and they don't feel like they're giving to God? See, you could become so desensitized through this doctrine, and I'm going to say what it is. It's a doctrine of the devil. See, if I was scared of some people or jelly-backed, I wouldn't say what I say. Because I'm saying what I'm saying because I know that God anointed me and my queen and millions of others across this world to tell it like it is. I can't worry about nobody else, but I know what he told me. Listen to this. Listen to this very closely. Anyone else? I see we have the man of God. Are you with us, Devante?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Go ahead. Whatever's in your heart. This young man is very young, 22 years of age, and we have watched him grow in the Lord. You talking about a seer, someone who is sensitive to the presence of God. He is a worshiper. I never forget we went to Kokomo, Indiana, and the people are still talking about it. This young man got on the stage and acted like he had a drink or something, but it was the Holy Ghost. It was not wine. It was the Holy Spirit, and he just went up on that stage, and he worshiped his God like he lost his mind. How are you doing, Devante? God bless you.
I'm fine, sir. How about you?
Wonderful. Go ahead, whatever's in your spirit before we continue.
Okay, I just believe, you know, that as people of God, as the bride of Christ, if we begin to, you know, hear the heart of God concerning, you know, about tithes and offerings, people, well, let's say the body of Christ, church members in particular, they will begin to grow spiritually, and their churches will begin to be inspired and be influenced, influential people in the communities, in their local sphere, and, you know, just different things like that, because once we obey God and listen to his voice and tap into the mind of God concerning those things that he loves so dearly, that's close to his heart, then we can see inspiration begin to flow in our communities, in our households, within our families, because, you know, it's just so much, you know, people of God, men of God that's in leadership that criticizes the body of Christ and criticizes the people of God and says, you have to do this, you have to pay this, you have to pay more than 10%. I want to raise 3 or 4 offerings to fund the church or to build another church, and it's going straight into their pocket. They're not contributing to the church. They're not contributing to the community. They're not contributing to the things that makes the church function.
My
as
God.
It's supposed to be, as God ordained it to be. You know, it's too many pastors that call themselves prophets and apostles that's not doing the function of an apostle and a prophet. If you're going to be an apostle and a prophet, then you're the overseer or you're the leader of a church. You need to impact your community as well. That you're a part of. You're on the west side, the south side, the north side, the east side. You need to impact that side or that region that you are. You can't just be in the church or inspired by the Holy Spirit in the church. Let it flow outside of the four walls. Let it come in the community. Let it come in your region. Let people be impacted to begin to sow, to begin to flow, and begin to flow in the community.
You know,
we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes. Devante, I am, Jesus. My queen?
Yes, honey.
This is powerful, coming from this mighty man.
Yes. Yes, it is. We thank God for it.
I mean, as you are saying, there are so many I'm going to say this, and I say it in love. There should be a difference from a church on the corner than a liquor store on the corner.
Exactly.
Both of them have spirits, but one of the spirits should be holy.
Yeah.
Right.
And if it's the Holy Spirit, then you know what? I give God the glory. See not me, but see him. I have never been afraid to preach on the streets, to meet the people in the community.
Yeah.
I believe in God to have our own machines, to fix our own roads. If the city doesn't want to do it, we'll just make a deal with the city. Y'all don't have to worry about here over here. We'll take care of our own trash. We'll take care of our own streets. And, honey, we'll make it look like heaven. Do you understand?
Right.
I don't have a small vision. See, and there should be a difference between someone, you know, they can holler, you got the apostolic mandate. Listen, the apostolic mandate is distribution of wealth.
That's it.
And folk looking up, gazing up, and two men are standing and saying, why are you looking up? The distribution of wealth has to come out of the kingdom of God. It's not going to come out of someone who's robbing the people in the name of God. That's why we play Alberta Lovett. That's why we deal with the raw people. People, listen, I'd rather have a church full of gangbangers than to have a church full of religious, stuck-up, stiff-necked, cross-sided, gossiping, demonic spirits. Talking about, I discern you have a bad spirit. Look in the mirror.
My God. Come on.
Don't start me. I'm going to drink a glass of water in a minute.
You understand?
Hallelujah.
Can I say something else?
Come on.
Speaking in tongues, and you know what? Don't you know I'm speaking in tongue in English? Can you hear the tongues?
Yes.
People think, I just like my pastor. I'd rather have a bunch of people that don't like me than a bunch of people that like me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I can listen. I'm not trying to get people to like me. I'm not looking for followers. I'm looking for leaders.
Yes, come on.
We're building apostolic cell groups all over the nation. I don't have to boast about what God is doing. One man came to me. He said, are you an apostle? How many buildings do you have? No. He started off like this. He said, how many churches do you have? I said, well, can't count them. That many? Yeah. What you mean, 10, 20, 30, 40? Ah, more than that. He looked at me like, whoa. The knuckle brain didn't understand. Now, he's pastoring a church, but he's a building-minded pastor.
Yes.
Come on.
We're going to build a new edifice. And when we get that new edifice, people are going to look at us like we're somebody. You know, people don't want to go to a church that you know, people want to go to a new church. So you're going to take 10 folks and build a brand new church that costs you almost $1 million. And going to have the people slaving, trying to pay for a building. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame. We're going to get into this some more, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Y'all listen to this. This is amazing. What you are about to hear is going to back up what we are saying, and then we'll be right back. Listen closely.
A lot of other people say, it's not about money, it's about peace, and it's about joy, it's about money. I didn't come here to get anything from you. I'm already wealthy, I'm loaded, I got more than enough, I'm a blessed man. I didn't come here to get something from you. I didn't ride here on Delta, I rode here on my own airplane. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, love the Lord. Love the Lord. And some people are being spiritually abused. And then I'll sit there and hear someone brag about their money. In the midst of, I told a preacher one time, He was up preaching, and God has sent us on a mission to this church. And one Wednesday night, I never will forget this, this preacher, this pastor, got up and pulled out his wallet, pulled out a $100 bill, and told the people in the congregation, very small ministry if you go by size, which is not important. They were precious people of God. And this pastor pulled out his wallet to make a point and said these words, I quote, I never go without $100 in my wallet. I still have my house, I still have my cars, etc., etc., etc. End quote. I had a meeting with this man, and I said to him, listen closely. I said, don't you ever do that again. You know, but who do you think you are? I said, I'll say it again. Don't you ever do that again. I said, you have the crown of pride. I said, the people that go to this ministry are struggling financially. Some of them don't even know how they're going to pay their bills. And you have the audacity to get up and brag about what you have. Shame on you. Hello here. I said, shame on you. And we went there. I think, baby, we stayed there 100 and some days, didn't we?
Yes, we did. 128 days.
And we saw great miracles. The work of an apostle went forth, and God got the glory. But this particular person got jealous, became jealous and full of rage because of the spiritual success that he saw. Now, this is going on all over the world.
Yes.
From mega to local. Now, you know, it's like a woman with a man that's not treating her good. And you stay with them because you're hoping for better. Some people, they stay with ministry because they're hoping for better. Why are you here? Because I love my pastor. You see, that's slow. And then a lot of people, listen, let me tell you something, ladies. Let me help you. I love you. Ooh, I love you. But listen, one of the reasons we have a lot of divorces, I'm speaking from experience. Ladies, you don't ever fall in love with some man that's your pastor or some woman.
Right.
And then you pay less attention to your family at home. Something's wrong with that.
Yes, it is.
Speaking in tongues, looking all cross-eyed, falling out, looking all crazy, talking about I got a word.
Come on.
And you sit up here not paying attention to your husband, and you say, I'm faithful to the church. No, you are unfaithful.
Yes.
And more concerned, and leave. Some people got their house in a rumble. I heard a lady got up one time. We was in the ministry. She said, I love Apostle, and I'll let my light bill go for him. I said, no, you don't. Come out here. I said, no, you won't. Don't let your lights get cut off. You talking about you love Apostle Owens, but call me Roderick.
That's it. Yes,
come on.
I
understand respect, but my God. Listen, this folk gambling with Ty. I don't care who it is. You're being pimped. Many of God's people are being pimped and prostituted in the name of tithing and offering. Don't make no sense. Y'all listen to this. Now, we're dealing with the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, listen, there's very little accountability, y'all, in leadership today in regard to money. I said this earlier. If you want to pay 10%, that's up to you. But there was a widow in the Bible who gave all she had, and I didn't read. Now, if y'all read it, let me know where Jesus rebuked her. Anybody read where Jesus rebuked the woman? She gave what she had.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say, where's the rest of your money?
No, he didn't.
Now watch this. And then in the book of Acts 4, chapter 4, read it on your, read it for yourself. You'll see it. I think it's around the 35th verse. They laid money at the apostles' feet. Now watch what happened. Having land, those that had land, everybody didn't have it to give. But those with property sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was in the news not too long ago where a man had everybody sell their possessions and give it to the ministry. And he was saying that Jesus was coming back at a certain date. He had it down pack, y'all, a certain date and a certain time. And so everybody waited, and I think they all was in the church. And people waited, and, you know, Jesus didn't come back on that day. And I think they beat the preacher up. They bum-rushed him. But anywho, the people that sold their land and then they laid money at the apostles' feet, look what happens. In the early church, the people sold what they had, and then they brought it, laid it at the apostles' feet. Look what happened. This was commonly taught doctrine in many of our churches to this day. Now, listen, y'all. It is supposed to be a new covenant example of paying tithe. It's supposed to be a Holy Ghost-inspired way of operating the church. In fact, it has often been taught, y'all, we are actually lucky, listen to this, that today our pastors only ask us for a tithe. Because supposedly in the early church, after the days of Pentecost, the people sold all that they had and gave it to the pastors. Now listen to this. Many pastors are teaching this. Well, hey, y'all lucky, because if you was in the Bible days, you would sell your house, you would sell your land, and you would give it to the church. So the people are supposed to feel like they are lucky if they only are asked to give 10%. Listen, let me tell you something. This is nothing more than a propaganda. It's nothing more than a lie. Don't you believe that you're lucky that you only have to pay 10%. This is not God's will. When you study about Abraham giving tithe, those men in the Bible gave a tithe after a war. They did not give of their own possession. Study it. Study it. Some ammunition I save for later, because you're going to always have people that disagree with truth because they've been doing it so long. Listen, the multitudes in the Bible days of them that believed were of what? One heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he or her possessed was his own. Nobody claimed that it was their own. Not in the Bible days. Nobody said, this is my car, this is my house. Everybody looked at each other as Devante said earlier, as a community. They were one. If you had a lot of land and you were growing some food, then you would share your land with someone else. They would share, you know, to grow vegetables and so forth. Nobody was stingy. Nobody felt like they were all that. Nowadays, oh yeah, baby, you can see division. You can see division, as we heard earlier, preachers bragging about their private jets. Now, personally, I'm not against anyone prospering, as long as they prosper not on the backs of the people. Now, if you make an album, God bless you, or you make a movie or a play or you work or any source of income that you get from your own hands, well, of course, that's yours. You do what you want to. Buy a donkey. Buy a horse. Buy three jets. But if you're prospering and the people of God are supporting your luxury, let me say it again. If the people of God are supporting your luxury, then, brother preacher, sister preacher, you are a pimp. You are a pimp. My queen.
Yes, love.
I love this.
Yes, I do too. This is so hot. This is awesome. I mean, just allowing the people, I mean, the people perish for a lack of knowledge. Life has to come with knowledge. I think this is so awesome. It's powerful. It's just enlightening the people. And because of the truth, which is Jesus, the spirit of truth, this is revealed and is so important. It's so important that we hear the truth as Christians.
We,
it is so important that we hear the truth.
Yes, because we, honey, we can't make it. We can't make it without it.
No, we can't.
And you know, there's a big misconception. Did the people in the early church sell everything that they had and give it to the leadership? Absolutely not. They were each instructed individually by the Holy Spirit to sell certain things which they possessed. Those who owned land, which certainly was not everybody, sold some of what they possessed as the Spirit of God led them, not by the, watch this, it was not by the command of the apostles.
No, it wasn't.
So a lot of modern day preachers who are ignorant use this as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is where you get pastor's anniversary. For what? He didn't die for you.
That's right.
And people said those that labor deserve double honor. Why everything have to be about money? You say tithe, people think money.
Yes.
You say honor, people think money. Isn't it amazing that what the poor don't have, they've been brainwashed to believing that if they love their pastor and if they honor their pastor, they'll give him some money?
Mm-hmm.
Do like a young man in one pastor anniversary in Chicago years ago. I never will forget this. And everybody was giving money, honoring the leadership. And one man came up and gave a food stamp. You know, back in the day they had paper food stamp.
That's right.
He went up there and gave his food stamp.
Mm.
And the brother started dancing and rejoicing, and the organ got to playing and all the instruments, and I mean the people danced and shouted. He gave his food stamp. But you know, see, he did it for a purpose.
Yes.
Because the people that came up and gave thousands of dollars, everybody just shouted and danced and spoke in tongues. But when he came up and gave all he had, which is illegal, mind you, but he was kind of crazy anyway. So he gave the food stamp, and people looked at him like he lost his mind.
Yes.
Because the people are so money conscious until they think, I'm not respecting God unless I bless my leader with money. But they'll see somebody walk up to them and say, hey, can you spare 50 cents? They'll look at them like, who are you? And it could have been Jesus.
Yes.
Listen to this. Listen to this. So this is a misconception. Another misconception is they were paying tithe when they laid their money at the apostles' feet. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Another misconception is that when they laid money at the apostles' feet, they were paying tithe. Let me give you a clear understanding. The word tithe is nowhere to be found. The word tithe is not found one time in the book of Acts. Now, you would think that when Jesus left, he would have left instructions to his apostles concerning tithing. But there was a reason. that he did not. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Eden, where you at?
Well, we are back, and we are talking about tithing. We're talking about money. See, I simply believe that God is ready. He has already opened the windows of heaven. And I decree right now, if you would just believe what you are hearing, give it a chance. You gave the others a chance. Give it a chance. Start giving by the direction, start giving by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I promise you that you will receive superabundance. Listen, every New Testament reference to tithing refers to the Old Testament. There is not one command in the New Testament for anyone in the church to collect or give a tithe. It was strictly the one-tenth of the grain and herd which was considered holy for sin sacrifice. This was for Israel, a sacrifice which the blood of Jesus Christ clearly does away with. Unless you sacrifice animals in your church, you shouldn't be giving a tithe or a sin offering. You see, you have to understand, when Malachi wrote that will a man rob God, and yet ye have robbed me, in the third chapter of Malachi, in tithing and offering, the devil jumped on it and said, hey, cha-ching, cha-ching, and saw this as an opportunity. The wolves, that is, saw this as an opportunity to prosper off of the ignorance of the people of God. Malachi was not speaking on money. Here's another misconception. The apostle used the money which was laid at their feet the same way as our pastors do today. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses, they sold them. Listen closely. And brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. Here it goes, y'all. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, you telling me that in your congregation, that everybody in your congregation, see, I refuse to call myself in leadership. There are people that know me. I remember there was a woman, I gave her tithe back. I said, God wants your soul. I refuse to pimp people or be pimped. what the apostles did was made sure that no one in that congregation lacked. So in your ministry, do you know of people that are lacking? Sitting next to people and they're shouting all over the church and their lights are turned off and some preacher gets up and instead of him having the heart, come on, brother pastor, you know everybody's business. Instead of them having the heart to say, come, and have people set over that particular ministry to make sure that no one is suffering, you mean to tell me that this is the will of God? Somebody done lost their ever-loving mind. And I rebuke that spirit because it is not of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever spoke to a pimp? They can talk, can't they? Oh, my goodness. I mean, a show-enough old-school pimp, they can talk. Hey, they can put it down, brother. They can give you a rap. And if you're not careful, they'll make you think you believe what they're saying when you know you don't. And that's the way some of these slick lying wolves are. And listen, God's people better wake up and stop being ignorant. You waiting on a miracle blessing is on the air. It's on the air. A miracle blessing is on the air. Stay with me. We'll be right back. I am enjoying this. Praise God. God is so awesome. He is so awesome.
Did you not know that the fivefold ministry, those are called gifts? They are not titles. You know when it becomes a title? When you rag. Aren't you glad to be sanctified? Now let me tell you something about being sanctified. It doesn't mean that the enemy will not try to tempt you. Holiness does not mean that you don't deal with issues and temptation. But it matters who you really love. I'm not going to take a chance on messing up my marriage. I've been in adultery before. I've been married and felt like what I was going through at home, I need a break. I've been in a hotel with the wrong woman, weeping, asking God to forgive me. And the woman looked at me and said, you do not belong here. Now, how you go from adultery to hear this woman prophesying to you and telling you, you don't belong here? Now, I know y'all deep, but my experience makes me who I am. See, that's how I can sit and talk to people. You know, men come to me and say, look, I messed up. And I'll go, are you kidding? Really? Yeah. And I know you don't understand it. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, you sit down. Brother, you are normal. Now, let me show you a way out. That sex is not your problem. You want relationships. See, most people in dealing with your sexual sin, sex is not your problem. It has become your drug. Hate yourself when it's over, and then you're going to do all those emotional changes. Sexual sin is not your problem. You really want God, and you really want to be happy. You really want to be happy, but you got to realize, sister said to me one time, I'm weak. I said, no, you're not. You're not weak. You're strong. Let the weak say, you're not weak. You are allowing yourself to give in to the thought of being weak. It takes a strong man to say, I'm going to wait till I get married. It takes a strong man to say, I'm going to wait. And it takes a strong woman to say, I'm going to let you wait. Because, you know, women rape men too. Men ain't not going to fight. Like my son told me, his first experience, he said a woman, attacked him. And he took a break and he grabbed the boots on the shelf and he said, wait a minute. And he put the boot on and then he said, I said, boy, sit down. Shut your mouth. Don't you ever tell nobody that. You mean to tell me while you was being raped, you paused to get the boot? I love you. How you gonna pause it? Wait a minute. Carry on. Somebody shout hallelujah. My oldest son told me that. I said, boy, you bear my name. Don't you ever tell nobody that. See, I believe that God anoints real people. I don't believe God anoints people who fake. I believe God uses people who are just themselves. Because when you be you, the anointing comes in, and the anointing meets the real person. Everybody has a beast in them. See, there's a difference between the ministry of apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2 and 20, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, not the pastor.
Well, you are listening to the Roderick Owensby Show, and I am so happy to be with you. And let's continue on. Listen, all leaders, when we read and study the example set by the apostolic leadership in the Word of God, we clearly see that our concept of leadership within the church today falls short of the glory of God concerning money and giving in of itself. Listen, it is simply not accountable. There's no accountability. Okay? Yet at the same time, much of the leadership holds the people accountable to their giving. From these same verses in the Bible, what would it be like? Listen to this. What would it be like, y'all, to give in a church in which you knew that all of what you gave would go to support all the others within the church itself, to see the poor fed right within the church with the money which you had given? No wonder that many people were selling their possessions in order to give. They were seeing and participating in the ministry of feeding the poor right in their own home. Charity starts at home. Okay? They were meeting the needs of those who had the lack right within their own church, right within their own body. It certainly must have been an incredible, powerful church filled with the Spirit of God and the spirit of giving, and filled with ministry, direct service toward one another. You see, when Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, how? By having love one to another. Ladies and gentlemen, pastors, hear me. Jesus was talking about the local church, the local body of Christ. Love one to another. You know, there are ministries that make people feel they're giving to missionaries and missions. There are some that actually do. Again, I am not sent to them. They that are whole need not my services. Glory to God. But there are listen, we got communities where the poor people are seen very clearly. And these same poor people go to church Sunday after Sunday and are literally begged to give. It's so sad. It's time to wake up. There's a better way. Start praying and asking God to show you where to plant your seed. Ask God. And then people say, well, you give where you're being fed. Well, so do I, at a restaurant. are you really being fed? You can't say you're being fed because someone stands up and read the Bible and preach a nice message. That's not being fed. Wake up and listen to this very closely. You invest where you are being fed, and you are seeing others being fed. Fed what? The necessities of life. Food. Shelter. That are receiving help. This is what the church is built upon. You can't say you have an apostolic ministry. Jesus said this, our chief apostle, I was hungry and you fed me not. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. He's talking about his body. We must understand. Unless we are obeying God concerning giving, we are in trouble. I heard a preacher once, he said, listen, tithing secures your financial future. Oh, God, listen closely. Tithing does not secure your financial future. It may secure the preacher's future, but not yours. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You're going to tell somebody that tithing and offerings, and as I said, some of these places have 4 or 5 offerings a Sunday, and then they have dues, pledges, and the list goes on. No, you're telling somebody that need a right now financial miracle, keep giving, that's slavery. The slaves were told, keep working in the field. Someday you'll go to heaven and you'll be blessed. Same doctrine being preached. Keep giving, and someday you'll be blessed. And the preacher drives off in the best looking car. And you catching the bus in the name of the Lord. Wake up here. Wake up here. That's not God's plan for you. The tradition which most leaders or leadership follows after says that leaders have the right to do basically whatever they want with the money that is collected. No wonder most churches have a tough time even collecting a tithe. The law collection of tithe eliminates the leading of the Holy Spirit in giving, and the disobedience and lack of accountability with regard to what is done with the money collected. And it further hinders the will and the move of God within the church. You wondering why there are no miracles? Why? The people are being taught to love bondage. And there can be no miracles in that type of bondage, because that type of bondage is the bondage of unbelief. While the people think they're believing God, they're actually living under a covenant that has been fulfilled by a new covenant, which is one thing and one thing only, the love of God. This is so important, people. This is so important. And I want you to know that it is so important. Until I told my queen, I must not allow the people to be robbed anymore. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You know, when you've been called to do things for God, or when you've been called to have a relationship with God, sometimes it just don't feel good. I mean, it's just downright uncomfortable from time to time. But in those tough times, I want you to keep it. Together. I'm talking to that person that knows what it's like when the money gets a little low and the bills are due. Maybe you lost a loved one this year. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you're wondering why your business or your ministry is not taking off. It seems like it's getting worse.
My goodness, I sense the presence of the Lord. I must let you know something. There is no need to require Christians to give a specific percentage of their income to the poor, because we are called to love each other as we love ourselves. You see, when you love, you are moved by compassion anyway. Following that law of love will meet the needs of all people and truly make God happy. Tithing, watch this, because you want a blessing from God or because you fear a curse from God are not the ways to please Him. But giving because you love your neighbor will bring joy to the heart of God as He sees His children loving one another. What parent doesn't get happy when they see the love flow with their own children? Watch this. The new covenant began at Jesus' death when His blood was shed. After that point, all who believe in Him, watch this, live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith in His name. And we are called, people, to be led of the Holy Spirit. We are not to live out the love of God and show it. Watch this. We are called to live out the love of God and to show it to people around us. And if we have faith in Christ and we are led by the Spirit, then we are under grace and not the law of Moses. Understand this. Study it for yourself. The tithe was for food. It may seem ridiculous to bring this up again, but listen, but even here, the tithe still only contained food in the Bible. The tithe never contained money. But those who teach tithing today tell Christians to tithe on any and all income and only want Christians to give money in the offering plate, not food. You'll see that Jesus noted the Pharisees' focus on tithing their garden herbs, the least of all agriculture produce. Watch this. They did not tithe money because it was not required by the law of Moses. Understand this. And you talking about prosperity. Many leaders are hindering you from prospering. Many leaders have stopped the windows of heaven from opening. Many gatekeepers. We have the wrong gatekeepers. And I prophesy today that God has loosed in the heavens and in the earth new gatekeepers, people that will teach the truth. Prosperity comes by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're talking about prospering now. Once you are free from that dogmatism teaching of tithing, I dare you to challenge what I'm saying. And I declare as a king, not only as an apostle, but as a king in the earth. And you that have listened and you that have received, you are free from the curse of bondage from any person making you feel that if you do not pay tithe, you are under the curse. You are free from the curse and the accusation of the enemy because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Now, praise the Lord for it. God is good. I feel the anointing of God, and I know that God is listening. My queen, I believe I have another person with us.
Yes.
God
yes,
bless you. I feel the presence of the Lord, my queen.
Amen. I do too. This word, I mean, the love of God. You're sharing about the love of God and how it's bringing forth the total deliverance of all of this. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. I thank God for this. The presence of God is so heavy because of the truth. I thank God for it.
I do too. And I heard our puppies a little while ago. I don't know whether they're asleep, but
no,
my queen,
they're not.
My queen is babysitting. I do have someone else on the air. God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen. Yes, and, He is.
And He's worthy of all praises. And I sense by
Amen.
The Holy Spirit that people have been set free. and are being set free, and we rejoice. We rejoice, honey. You know what? We're
yes,
free.
We do.
We're free from
yes.
bondage.
Amen.
Now imagine if I was under bondage to love you and I was not free.
Oh, God.
Imagine if you were under bondage to love me and you were not free. Wouldn't that be a mess?
Yes, it would be.
And
it's so easy to love you.
Yes. So easy to love you too, darling. And this is what giving is about. Giving shouldn't be with a whip of religion. And you have to understand the majority is not always right.
That's right.
See, because, you know, most people follow the majority. And then,
yeah.
you know, they hear some preacher get up and say, well, I heard about some man teaching not to give tithe. That's a false prophet. Well, of course they want you to think I'm a false prophet.
That's right.
Because I'm messing with their money, honey.
Yeah.
Come on. Because it's
yeah.
not their money. It's yours to be led of God. And
now, that is something.
Go ahead, baby.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. That's something. When you purpose in your own heart to what to give, and then you get to a place and you already know what the Lord has laid in your heart to give, and then someone wants to offer, wants to pull another offering or and make a person feel like they're not giving what the Lord had laid on their heart. It's so many young Christians or people who really don't, they still are suffering with the fact of, do I hear from the Lord? We counseled so many people, just one in particular a little while ago. She was suffering with knowing if she truly hears the voice of God. And then you get to a place where people are questioning you or telling you, even in tithe and offering, that you did not hear from God. So then that even puts the people in a different set of bondage, because not only are they're learning how to live by faith and hear the voice of God and discern the voice of God, even in their tithes and offering, they can't go, or in their giving, they can't really get the full benefit of what Christ is saying to them, what the Holy Spirit is saying to them, because there's somebody questioning every move, every motive, every step that they make in the Holy Ghost.
That is
so
true.
And that's something to me.
That is so true, my queen. Instead of being led by the Spirit, many have
yes.
Become accustomed to being led by man. In other words,
yes.
what do you need the Holy Spirit for?
Exactly.
I need 10 people to give $100. Stand up. You know, I need, and then you get some crazy prophet coming through, and then he robs you or she robs you.
Yes.
Come on, making you feel like your husband cost some money or your job cost some money. Got to pay for everything. You got to pay for a
yes.
blessing. You got to pay. And then somebody's telling you the reason you are having financial trouble. This is a big one. And I chose to take this last 15 minutes. Well, the remaining 15 minutes, certainly not the last, but the remaining 15 minutes I chose by the Holy Spirit to deal with this one. Someone making you feel that the reason you're having financial trouble is due to tithing. That's a bald-faced lie. So now here's this person thinking, oh, the reason I'm having financial trouble because I haven't paid my tithe. And then they get brainwashed because according to your faith, be it unto you. And then they get brainwashed into thinking, well, I got to pay my tithes to get blessed. That in itself is bondage. That's bondage completely by itself. For you to feel that you are not blessed or you're having financial trouble or having trouble in your home or having trouble in your marriage. Let me tell you something right now. You know why you're having trouble? Because you were born of a woman. The Word of God says that a man born of a woman is full of trouble.
Yes.
When you were born, you had trouble. Listen, your mama had trouble trying to have you. It's called labor. It wasn't easy. Once you were born, it wasn't easy for your parents to raise you. It was a challenge. It was a blessing, but it's also a challenge. So when somebody tells you you're having financial trouble because you're not paying your tithe, they are lying to you. You take them to the scripture, man born of a woman, it talks about a few days and full of trouble. Trouble comes along with life. Has nothing to do with tithing, but if you choose to believe that and be under bondage, help yourself. But you ask yourself, where are the windows of heaven? Come on now. The windows of heaven comes through obedience to the Holy Spirit. You have the liberty to give wherever God tells you to give. We are not teaching not to give to your church. If you heard that, you have a hearing problem. But we're teaching the liberty of the Holy Spirit, that if you are operating under someone telling you what to do, well, you might as well go back to slavery. Go get that boy. Go pick that up. Psh, hit you with a whip. Either you're free or you're in bondage. Which is it? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is bondage? Fear. I'm afraid that I'll be cursed if I don't give. I want to be saved because I'm afraid of going to hell. I want the windows of heaven to open up, so I'm going to make sure I'm faithful to my tithe. See, right there, you're saying I'm faithful to a tithe and not faithful to God. Bondage. God is so good. God is so good. Tomorrow, we are looking forward to what he has in store for us. We're going to be dealing with natural love versus spiritual love. You know, a lot of relationships have issues because people deem to be spiritual, but they just don't know how to be natural. Don't miss it. We're going to be dealing with this, my queen and I. Natural love versus spiritual love. We have to talk about it on the Roderick Owensby Show. And anything else in your heart, baby?
Just excited about tomorrow's show. Looking forward to it. Want everybody to go out and just tell somebody about the truth that's being told.
Baby, I got something to tell you, baby.
Tell me, baby.
Listen. Yeah, baby. I love you, darling. You're so sexy, baby. Listen, my queen.
Something that you told me stayed in my head all night long. You wanted me to love you when you said.
Well, well, well. Well.
That's something, baby.
Yeah,
I
baby.
I feel the fire. I feel the fire, baby.
Oh, you feel it, baby. Tomorrow we're going to have a good time. You know, we obey the Lord. And
yes,
I feel such a success of people by the millions being set free. People had questions, and they were wondering, and God sent them us, and we give God all the glory.
Yes.
Oh, baby, I feel another one coming on. Hold up, baby. I can't wait till tomorrow night. Natural love, ladies and gentlemen, versus spiritual love. This is for every Christian couple. Don't miss tomorrow night. You listen, we are not going to let the enemy destroy you. We got to mix it together, y'all. Some of y'all saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you haven't even slow danced with your husband or your wife.
Come on.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Baby, this is for you, darling.
Okay.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, look at him. Thinking about you and this loving you is loving our family is so important. You know, it's so good not to be in bondage. Yes, it is.
We're free. God wants people to serve Him freely, not because you have, not because you have to, but because you want to.
That's right. It's good to serve Him. It's easy to serve Him. You serve in love, love only going to come back to you.
I'm telling you, not being in bondage to love, but just, wouldn't that be crazy if we were just so in bondage to love and it would be it wouldn't be love.
No.
And just like I thank God that, you know, we're not stuck up and we still like our love songs. And some people would be like, oh, my God, I thought you were saved. I
yes.
thought you loved the Lord.
Yeah.
I do.
The puppies keep hearing your voice and they want to jump and run to you.
Uh-huh. The puppies would be on the Roderick Owensby show. Maybe one day we'll just, our prince, Elisha, his puppy, I call him Scarface, his puppy, Lucas, he sings. Both of them sing. Your puppy, Dixie, they sing. And,
Lucas trying to sing in here.
He's trying to sing.
Yes, because he was fighting, and then he wanted to sing. I had to keep his mouth shut so he wouldn't be on the radio. And then Dixie, she wants to jump up and run and play with the air conditioner.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, nighttime, we're up. If anyone wants to give us a call, we would love to talk to you. 317-400-3693. Remember, tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back, and our subject will be natural love versus spiritual love. We will
yes.
talk to you then. Love you, baby.
Love you, boo.
My queen.
My king.
Man, I've been to a lot of beautiful churches, and they were filled with so many beautiful people. It was a pleasure to be there. There's just this one church in Houston, Texas, I had to write a song about, cause they love me. They would say, you can run, you can run, you can run, you can run, but there's no hiding place you can't deny. Don't try to fight, cause we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay.